Greetings, my wonderful friends, and welcome to the AddedSouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Spencer, Wisconsin. My name is Stefan Maillet, your audio and video servant for this episode. Gambling Christians. You gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Kenny Rogers, 1978, The Gambler. Friends, the practice of gambling has been around for a very long time. It's in the books, the magazines, the music, the movies, all over the world. Can't get away from it, it seems, right? From what most certainly took place during Bible times to our now modern age of technology, whether the Egyptians, the Romans, and now Americans and Canadians, gambling can be found. Whether playing your cards right in 7th century China, or baccarat in Italy in the 1400s, blackjack in the early 1600s, to the first designated area of gambling, a casino recorded in Italy, 1638, or the roulette in 1796 Paris, poker in 1829 America, to Las Vegas Gambling Center in 1910. And now, since the mid-90s, we have computer gambling sites, and in recent decades, you can simply enter your bank or credit card information and digitally lose the house or Jimmy's college funds all day long on any device. Friends, gambling is made accessible to any human being walking this earth, no matter which kind of status you hold socially. It don't matter if you're rich or poor. It don't matter which kind of skin color you have or which language you speak. Gambling is most certainly a pocket in which you will find on this planet Earth somewheres. Now, I want to ask you a question as we discuss this very topic here, this moral topic, this day. Have you ever seen a gambling joint? Many Christians love to defend gambling. We know that. We see that. We interact with many of our brethren who would love to just fight all day and all night and trying to justify gambling. And one big reason for it is because they've never really seen the fruits of the gambling industry or the gambling endeavors. They've never really defined the term either. For one Christian, gambling could mean this, and for the other, it could mean that. Ever seen a grown man purposely wear diapers so that he won't have to leave the real machines all day and night? Have you ever seen that? It's an honest question. Have you ever seen a grown man wear Pampers so that he can stay sitting and gambling all day and all night? Won't need to get up and go to the washroom. No? How about a man who comes in after receiving his pay, losing it all on the table about an hour later, then crying and begging you, the dealer, to have mercy since all that money he lost was supposed to go to feed the kids? Uh-oh, gonna have a fight with the wife going home now, ain't he? And then a wealthy man sits down and wins all this other fool's losses. Have you ever seen that? No? Well, what do you really know about gambling? What do you really know about gambling? Do you know that where you found gambling, you'd almost always find other behaviors and practices which would be invited to the table? I mean, how naive are you exactly, oh Christians? Don't you know investing a dime in gambling is investing in practices such as lying, dishonest deception, emotional outburst, worldly anger and lashing out, violence, liquor, drugs, and fast women? Fast living? No. What do you know about that? You see, in my past life, walking as an organized criminal for several decades, I can attest to the fact that these other immoral branches most certainly gravitate to the gambling platform. Whether you be physically among them, pay attention now, or in the privacy of your own home, the dollar you put forth in gambling is in fellowship with the same sinful ilk. Now, you may want to reject that notion. It don't matter. Facts are facts. And if you follow the money, it all ends up to the same destination here regarding this topic, this moral topic we're talking. Just follow, stick with me. And so, yes, gambling, like any other worldly practice, okay? It masquerades as normal, as innocent, as exciting and pleasurable. It's inviting, it's approachable, it's honest and easy. It's showing these things, it's portraying a picture to your mind so that you'd be attracted to it. You see the ads, don't you? I mean, you see the ads for these gambling places. It's just like the liquor industry sharing an advertise of beautiful women and exciting endeavors. If you just take a drink, just buy this brand of booze, and your life will be so much better. It'll be filled with adventure. We see that, don't we? I mean, what do we tell ourselves in with this gambling thing? I mean, think of all the good you could do if you won, right? I mean, think of all the poor orphans you'd feed. Think of how happy the church would be if you put a $1 million check in the offering, right? Or how about, I could put little Jimmy through college. I could buy Mama a house. Pay off those pesky debts that never seem to go away. Friends, have you ever seen the life of those who have won big amounts of money over gambling? You can actually YouTube them now and see them broke and destroyed, divorced, overdosed, and so on. Friends, the list of what-ifs could go on and on. It's the moth who thinks the flame is a good thing, ends up being burnt. Oh, well, you're just using negative extremes. Really? Again, how naive are you exactly regarding gambling? Gambling from its genesis has never been something God created for mankind. Rather, mankind created it for ourselves. It's a fleshly desire. It's a physical rush that we've created for ourselves, this path here that involves gambling. God didn't just, well, you know what, here you go, here's gambling, guys, have fun with that. You have at it now. It'll enrich your life in spiritual benefits untold. You'll have fun with this one. God, this thing called gambling was not birthed from the mind of God. And granted that not everything that wasn't birthed from the mind of God is inherently sinful. I mean, if we're honest students, we can reason with that. But we're talking about gambling here. We're talking about something that has a lot more to do with a lot of things than, building a computer or something. Gambling, from its genesis, has never been something God created for mankind. That, at the very least, should allow us to ask questions about it. If God didn't create it, if God didn't command us to partake in it, then is it something we can partake in? Is it something that's good? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Philippians 4:8. You gotta ask the question. Is gambling true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good rapport? Is it a virtue? Is it praiseworthy? Should we meditate on gambling? Is it a good thing to do? And we can use this pattern and principle for anything and everything that we may consider, perhaps, of concern with our souls, our moral walk as Christians here on this earth. Friends, gambling has many branches. It can be found active in all sorts of different ways. It can be the lottery number, the poker table, or the scratch ticket. It can be the dice game on the block, The domino table watching the game, the old lady watching Wheel of Fortune while scratching her bingo ticket, or better, the bingo card at the bingo hall. I can still remember my great-great-grandma would bring me as a child to the bingo hall with her, sometimes. And it was usually at the Catholic Church, which she was a member of there. And it was quite interesting to me to sit down with a whole bunch of senior citizens. And then once in a while, you'd hear one of them just scream, bingo, you know, and then the priest there would give the winnings or whatever, how that worked. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with a bunch of senior citizens, you know, coughing up a few dollars to play bingo, right? Well, did you know that God, since the very beginning, takes great attention as to how we use His blessings? See, we tend to think things are ours and we want to use them our way. Did you know that God will judge us according to that very thing, the way that we use His blessings? What if we just take a look at Cain and Abel? I mean, seriously. Look at the principle therein. They both had blessings, and both of them used their blessings in a certain way. God recognized the way Abel used them, and yet he had no regard. He disregarded the way Cain used them. Now, why do you think that is? I want you to think about that. I had to think about that. I think about that. Why is that? It's interesting nonetheless, isn't it? And what of the way Israel was supposed to use their blessings? Was it supposed to be any different? God most certainly expected a very specific and righteous manner in which they, the people of God, had to use their blessings in which God had blessed them with. From the mind of God, we've always been called to be good stewards of our belongings. Our currency is included, most certainly, the money we make. God wants us to ask ourselves, if we're faithful, we'll ask ourselves these questions that the Bible begs us to do. So, is it being used? The blessings God has allowed us to have, are we using them for the greater good of His purpose, His kingdom? Do we feed our family and defend their lives? Are we benevolent? Do we evangelize? How can we say we love our fellow man when we secretly be stealing his wallet? And you ask, well, how's that? Well, the ticket you bought and won took many of your neighbor's wallets, which was meant for food, lodging, and clothing. See, out of sight, out of mind doesn't win you the ticket here. Just because you don't see the damage being done doesn't mean the damage isn't being done. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Now the manner in which we receive God's provision is by working for it, not throwing it on a table, hoping we no longer need to work for it. Friends, you can't find fun in these endeavors. You can find fun in other areas that don't include involving your spirit with the vices of gambling trends. It's just like the worldly Christian who says, I'm only having a few alcoholic drinks to socialize. I'm not really getting drunk or anything. Well, why does it need to be alcoholic? Why not simple grape juice? Well, you know the answer to that if you're honest in any shape or form. The world doesn't accept that. And you want to fit in, so you want to do things the world does. And you want to find pleasure in the things the world finds pleasurable. Could Ephesians 5:18 just as well say, do not gamble with your money, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit? I mean, don't you think the principle of the verse is teaching us to stay away from worldly things in order to concentrate on godly things? Well, of course, if you're honest in any way, shape, or form. Now, just because you don't find a verse that says, thou shalt not gamble, does not mean the concern can't be found. You'll never read a verse that says, thou shalt not smoke crack. Yet any honest student of the Bible, knowing the doctrine therein, teaches we should not smoke crack. Now, there are many other venues and directions one can take regarding this moral topic, and I tend to take it through the matter of the heart. Simple-like. Where's your mind at as a Christian? And why on earth is it that as Christians we need to talk about these things? We should know this already, since we live under a more mature covenant. As Christians, we should already know what is right and wrong, discerning it therein, because we should be reading the Bible and believing the Bible. Where's your heart at? Is it with the world and the way it provides? Or with God and the way He provides? How are we using His blessings? Are we good stewards of our money? Are we investing it, spiritually speaking, in spiritual things, in heavenly wealth? Or are we squandering it away with the fleeting hopes of the world? Gambling Christians? God forbid. The only Christians who get triggered and criticize this information are those who want to defend what cannot be defended. Because I just want to, and there's nothing wrong with it. Well, you keep telling yourself that. You keep walking that path. Yeah, you meet Jesus on that day with that kind of a mind. You go ahead. You're going to go with your... I'm not following you, by the way, on that path. No, I'm not going that direction. If we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly, we're not going to be gamblers. We're not going to be gambling. Find fun in something good. You like the rush of gambling? Oh, I may lose it all. I may win it all. Well, let me tell you something about a rush. Want a good rush? Want a righteous rush? Try telling people they're lost and they need to repent. Try finding yourself in a public faith where you declare and expose sinful things and you beg people with love to change their ways before they die and go to hell. Now, that's a rush. You don't know if they're going to punch you in the face or if they're actually going to convert to Christ. There, you want a rush? You go that way. There's your rush. Gambling Christians. You got to know when to hold them, huh? Got to know when to fold them. Don't let the world intimidate you with these things, thinking that you're uncool if you don't participate in these kind of things. No, listen. Christians don't gamble. We don't mess around with gambling. We stay away from gambling. Gambling belongs to the world. It belongs to the world in its ways. It's lascivious, sensual ways. It's immoral, depraved, sinful ways. We don't belong in that. And everything they try to use to lure us in, we must be able to discern, identify, recognize, point out, and say, nope, I'm not going to go that way. Even if you've told yourself, it's only an innocent little $2 scratch ticket. Because we'll do that, right? We'll try to justify anything.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it is. It may just be $2 in your mind, but it makes a big difference where you're putting that $2. Who do you think gets that $2? Anyway, I could keep going with this one. But as it stands, it should suffice. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this episode. Podcast, addedsouls.com, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Spencer, Wisconsin. Hey, listen, we love you and we have concern for your soul. We are Christians. We're supposed to act like it, right? We're supposed to be the light shining in our communities. Let's act like it. Let's do what's right regarding these moral issues and topics. Stay positive, stay focused. We shall most certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing, and God bless.